Jaylen Brown throws it right back at Dragic. Here's Tatum, runs, oh, and throws it down. First runs into Crowder, and then the hammer, and the Celtics up by five.
Chinese women got cakes on the lunch.
They came out with great force, flattening us out with our execution. I think everybody can see.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Sunday morning, folks. We got all your playoff action. Really, it was just one game from Saturday night. I'm Mo DeKeel, and with me is Zach Harper, who makes fun of my mustache daily, but I tend to ignore it.
Shave it.
Not going to happen. And my podcast partner, Dave Dufour. Before I say anything, folks, don't miss out on an exclusive, in-depth coverage of this unprecedented sports season. Subscribe now and save. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding, and you can receive an all-access subscription for just $1 a month, folks. I mean, that's less than the coffee you're buying every morning. Sports are back, and you won't want to miss the breaking stories on all of your favorite teams. So go to theathletic.com/dailyding to receive an all-access subscription for just $1 a month. On today's show, the Celtics are right back in this series, fellas. We got the Celtics beating the Heat 117-106. They're now just down one game in this series. It's 2-1 Miami. Fellas, I mean, this looked like it was going to be a massive blowout. Let's just start with that. Any concerns of Boston nearly blowing it at the end?
Zach, I didn't love it. Mo, like, we talked quite a bit on Nerder about the importance of, you know, maintaining your attack. And what I really did not like out of the Celtics was how different they were playing in the last 3 minutes of this game compared to what was working for them all game. Why are they going isolation heavy, milking the clock? Your regular offense was working great tonight. Goran Dragic had nothing. Just run your stuff and close it out. It doesn't have to be that complicated.
Yeah, I don't love a prevent offense. I get the theory of it. I don't think it's necessarily always a bad call, but it does take you out of the rhythm of what's working, right? And I think that's the issue here is, you were so successful. It's not like, hey, you'd eke the 7-point lead out and you're holding on at this point. That's not what that was. Like, they kicked their ass all night, right? Like, you kicked their ass all night and you go away from that, Mo. Like, I don't like that. And it's frustrating, too, because every time the Heat made a run in this game, they made a run in the second half, in the second quarter, they made a run in the third quarter, they made a run in the fourth quarter. Every time they did it other than this fourth quarter one, the Celtics just came back and, like, stomped that run. Right, like turned a 7 or 8 point game into a 19-point game or whatever. Game. Like they just absolutely
at the
dominated.
End of the game, it felt like they were going to blow it. I mean, that Jaylen flagrant one. I mean, it was 109-101 when that happened.
Dave, if he hits both those free throws and they hit a three, that's a 3-point game. Like that's huge. Yeah, you're right.
Well, then you begin to have those doubts in your mind that start to creep. If you're the Celtics, you're like, oh, God, here we go again. We're going to blow a lead. And this one's even worse because you wouldn't have just gone down 0-3. You literally had this game up until the final minute. And, you know, Zach, to go back to your thing about just the runs earlier when they were answering, you know, that second quarter run, Miami goes on an 11-1 run. And then next thing you know, it's Kemba Walker hits a mid-range pull-up. Goran Dragic picks up a loose ball foul and puts Jaylen Brown on the line for two free throws. They get a stop and Jason Tatum on a run out gets a dunk. And then you have Kendrick Nunn who stupidly fouls him and yanks it in and one. And that just kind of pushed that lead wide open. It was just kind of really shocking to sort of watch this lead slowly dwindle. And they were just losing containment. I mean, Duncan Robinson hits that big corner three. A lot of that is because Jason Tatum just lost him.
Yeah, and you mentioned like those runouts, right? It seemed like that was all night. I mean, the Celtics lived in the paint in this game, but it felt like a lot of those were just on these basic runouts. It's not like they were getting a long rebound and going. Like someone was just kind of hanging back, whether it was Tatum, whether it was Brown. And Dave, like the Heat transition defense, oh, I don't know if you can call it transition defense because they didn't get back. Like there was no defense. It's just like they saw a rebound, they saw it get grabbed, and they're just kind of standing around. And I wonder, like, Dave, do you think they got too loose, like too confident that, oh, we're up 2-0? Because that was horrendous effort in those moments. And it didn't just happen one or two times. Like, it happened like a good 5, 6, 7 times in this game.
I think that's part of it. But I don't want to take away credit from Boston. You know, I thought their effort to get into transition and semi-transition was better. You know, we saw that early on in game two when Cantor came out and gave him some really good minutes early. You know, he was running down. He was getting deep seals. Like, they were putting pressure on the inside. Miami's running that zone so high that to me just seemed natural. And obviously tonight, 60 points in the paint. And I think the Celtics just did such a better job of executing that game plan for almost four quarters, you know, until the end of the game, that it isn't so much about Miami being bad in transition defense tonight, which they were, no question about it. But I think Boston just really capitalized on those mistakes very well.
Well, I thought they did a really good job the way they attacked the zone. And it was just so many different ways. You know, it was ball movement with player movement. It was attacking with somebody in the dunker spot and being able to work him on the baseline. It was driving kicks. Like, they were just constantly attacking that zone. Like, they really ate that up tonight. It really showed that was their emphasis going into this. And then the other thing is, I just found them to be the more physical team in this game. Like, I don't feel like Miami had much of a physical presence at all tonight.
No, and I think you saw that on just a lot of play inside, Dave. Like, I think you saw that with, like, guys were just, it felt like the Heat players were just kind of bouncing off everybody other than Bam. I thought Bam was very physical in this game, but other than him, I just felt like even Jimmy Butler, I felt like everyone was just slow to the ball and not, you know, not really mixing it up. Jay Crowder and Jaylen Brown got into a dumb little pushing matchup at one point, but I think there was a score, I want to say inside, like maybe it was Marcus Smart on Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero, somebody, and he, like, you know, kind of flexes on him and everything, gets the foul, and like it just seemed like the Heat weren't really about that action.
Well, also their offense. I mean, you know, Goran Dragic has been scorching hot, and he was not great tonight. And that is really the big difference in the game. He only had 11 points. And so I think that, now I don't want to call them front runners because Miami is not a front runner in right. any stretch of the imagination. But I do think when they're clicking offensively, it keys in their defense. We all thought coming into the series that Boston, you know, was a more talented team, that they've just got more players who are good. And, you know, adding Hayward tonight, which I know we're going to get to, really stacks the deck for them. And this is more what I expected out of the last couple games that were close, but it's just that tonight Boston was able to answer when Miami started coming back more often. And we almost saw them blow it at the end. So clearly Miami has them figured out to a certain degree. It's all about Boston being able to counter. And tonight they were able to do that more often than they weren't.
And you brought up Hayward. So let's just go right into it. Like, I thought he was great for them. You know, obviously this makes it so that Semi Ojeleye doesn't have to play anymore. And that's a big win for Boston just in general in its own right.
Yeah, that's a gigantic step forward for them.
You got to just feel good about yourself in the series. Even if Gordon gives you nothing the rest of the way, you're still winning. But I thought he came in and he was just another playmaker. I mean, the very first play he makes is that bounce pass off the pick and roll to Tice for an easy dunk. And I think just kind of alleviating the pressure. And in that second quarter run was keyed because they were able to go small and they had five wings and guards on the court and it wasn't a big, and that's something that happens when you have Hayward. What did you guys overall just think of his performance? I want to start with you, Dave.
Well, I think it's great that you mentioned the playmaking, but the thing that I really liked about him tonight was his defense, which I'm shocked by because usually guys coming off an ankle injury, they're a step slow. I thought he looked pretty good tonight, pretty spry. Let's see how he looks in game four. Nice that they've got a big break. But, you know, you mentioned not having to play Semi Ojeleye. Great. Gordon Hayward, he's not like a huge foul guy. You know, he only got three fouls tonight, and that has been an issue for Boston in this series so far. That's a huge improvement. Just being able to stay in front of multiple guys, like you're not worried if it gets caught on Goran, like you might be with Semi Ojeleye, and you're not worried if he's caught on like Kelly Olynyk. Like, he can hold his own. And I just think having adult basketball players playing defense makes such a big difference. And I mean adult as in not reaching for stuff, not being overly physical. And then to be able to provide playmaking on the other end, four assists tonight from him, which in Boston, you know, in Boston's offense, that's a big big amount for Hayward. So I thought overall great game, in particular coming off the ankle injury.
Zach, I want to ask you about Jimmy Butler, though. Didn't really play in the fourth quarter down the stretch. Is there anything about an injury, or was that just a weird, hey, we're going to go with somebody else kind of moment?
It looked like he was favoring one of those legs. Like he wasn't moving well. I didn't see an injury happen, but Dave and I were texting with Jared Weiss, who covers the Celtics for The Athletic, and he had said that he was kind of dragging a leg, and that, you know, that goes with what I saw. Like, I couldn't really tell what was wrong, but he wasn't moving well. And so I think that, you know, we know Jimmy. Like, Jimmy would almost have to have a foot amputated to not want to go out there in a fourth quarter moment, right?
I'm pretty sure he's still going to try to go out there, Zach, even with one foot.
And I think the fact that he didn't shows that, like, you know, one, maybe Spo was just like, look, we're close, but this thing's cooked at this point, right? And two, like, it might just be, hey, Jimmy's in trouble. To Dave's point on Gordon, like, I just looked up the numbers, and there wasn't a big difference during the regular season. But I thought tonight, Gordon being on the court allowed Jaylen Brown to just do more, right? Which is weird, because you would think, like, oh, he can do less now. He doesn't have to. But I thought it almost empowered him. Maybe he thought, all right, I don't have to conserve as much energy tonight because we have more help on the wings. We can go, you know, I can go harder. And him going harder, like, Jaylen Brown was a monster in this game on defense. I mean,
he had a kick out monster option. Think about that. You know, like, there are times where I watch him attack a closeout and he's making a pass to Semi Ojeleye. And again, no offense to Semi Ojeleye. I feel like I'm just dogpiling on him tonight. Gordon Hayward is a better player who's going to make better decisions. You know, down the stretch of this game, Gordon wound up with a nice assist to Kemba Walker. And it came off of something that has not been there for Boston. And that's kicking out to a competent playmaker. And that is the big difference in this game. And I think will wind up being the big difference in the series, is that having more playmakers on the court at once just improves your offense. And I think that's a huge deal for Boston. They've done this all year. I expect to see them look more like what we saw all season rather than what we saw in the first two games.
Yeah. And to your point about Jaylen Brown, led the Celtics in scoring with 26 points, 11 of 17 shooting, on top of that great defense, 7 rebounds. Do you think Marcus Smart should yell at him after every game? Do you think if that's going to get him fired up?
Those guys should be yelling at each other a little bit after this game, I think. I mean,
oh my God, we're going to do this. Here's my
thing. No. I think that here's the deal. Maybe not screaming at each other.
I just meant the collective.
But here's my thing. I like that they came out early. The intensity was there. I think that the fourth quarter, I'm not going to call it a collapse because they won, but they sort of fell apart a little bit when Miami got into their frenetic state, which they do down in late in games. And they have to figure out a way to survive that punch and counterpunch like they did the rest of the game. They got a little tight down the stretch, and they're lucky that Duncan Robinson missed that free throw. I felt like that was a little bit of a backbreaker for Miami. But they have to figure out how to close these games out. Like, you're not winning a title if you can't close out the Lakers. So you need to do it now before you get to the next series.
You hear that, Denver? He's already saying Lakers moving on. Just saying, I mean, that was Dave.
Go, he's already backed out of support. Tweet it, Dave.
One of four teams. I'm just throwing it out there. You just can't do that against any other good team. So you need to figure out how to do that against Miami since they're not good, according to JK.
Or the Denver Nuggets. Let me say this. Look, I'm not bashing Boston media, because you play to your customer base, right? And the customer base wants just glowing talk about the Celtics in print. They just do, right? Like, they want everything. Now, on sports radio, they want to be a cesspool. Right. But in print, and in talking about it, like, in that platform, they want the glowing stuff. And you are going to get so many, the spark from a post-game confrontation ends up with a fire in their belly in game three as they show the Miami Heat who the hot ones are in this series. Like, that's what it's going to be, right? Yeah. It's just going to be, I promise you, this game was coming whether they blew up at each other or not. Okay, the Celtics are good. The Heat are also very good. And Jay King, the Heat are going to win this series still. But the Celtics team was not going to get swept. They were not going to get gentlemen swept. They were going to go down like the Bucks.
No, exactly. They were never going to do that. This series is closer than I think I gave it credit for. As far as from a talent perspective, Jimmy Butler being amazing, like, really helps. And even though he's not scoring the ball all that well, although he had 17 tonight, he's still just a difference maker every single time he's on the court. And so I will admit, I didn't give the Heat enough credit. I haven't given them enough credit all year. These rookies are unlike any rookies I've ever seen. Rookie role players, you know, like, it's actually weird how much of a veteran presence these rookies are providing. Isn't it strange that they're running stuff for Tyler Hero when they need a bucket?
Yo, Hero was so good in the first
half. And
then
awful in the second half.
he was terrible in the second half, but he was so
good. Right?
He kept them to where I thought like, oh, he's going to win them this game. They are going to go up 3-0 with just the way he was playing.
Exactly.
And the victory lap you would have taken, Zach, had they've gone up 3-0 on Buds, which you can listen to. Well, you will, but it's not as fast or as strong as a victory lap when it's 2-1 versus it potentially have been 3-0.
Mo, you know me. I don't believe in an early victory lap, okay? I wait until all four wins are tucked away in that deposit box.
That does not go through the history of my experience with you, Zach. I've seen you take victory laps before anything has started. So,
also possibly accurate. But
hold on. Zach is very good at peacocking before the results are in, too. Just to make sure you're aware that it's about to happen.
Look, I'm... What happens in our group chats don't need to be out in the podcasting world.
Oh, I was just thinking about your tweets.
They don't need to be on Twitter. They don't need to be on... So, yeah, okay. You know
Twitter is not your group chat, right, Zach?
I'm full of shit. Well, when you think about it, it is kind of a giant group chat in which nobody wants to talk to me. Right. Yeah.
That's true. Very much like the smaller group chats that we're all in.
Last point I just want to make, too, though, is do we think Duncan Robinson's going to be able to get a game where he just goes completely off? Like, they've been able to get him in foul trouble early and really attack him defensively.
I mean, he did it in game two. I thought he was good, like, really, really effective in game two. He's like 6-12 from three. I just think this is a series where he's going to have his hot games and he's going to have his games where they're just all over him. And that's about Boston's defense. Duncan Robinson, I'm ready to say, like, this guy might be the best shooter in the league. He certainly is scaring the hell out of the Celtics. You can see by the way they're selling out on him defensively. He was 4 of 8 from three in this game. Every time he gets loose, I expect that ball to go in. And I think Boston is kind of keying in on him the same way. You almost have to worry about him more than you have to worry about Jimmy Butler.
Right. You have to be concerned. You have to have that awareness for him constantly. We saw Tatum lose it down the stretch, and he was able to knock down that corner three I talked about. Just going to hit you guys with numbers real quickly. Like I said, Jaylen Brown, 26 points. Jason Tatum with 25 points, 14 rebounds. Pretty damn impressive.
And we didn't even talk about him. I mean, he had a quiet, fantastic game.
Yeah. You know, Marcus Smart, 20 points. Got to the free throw line 10 times. Knocked all 10 down. Kemba Walker.
Wait, real quick on Tatum. Tatum had that one fast break dunk where Jay Crowder bounced off him. And he just ripped that thing through the rim. Like, I was just like, I like Jay Crowder. And obviously, you know, my ego is heavily in this because of Basketball, which you can listen to on Monday on the Athletic NBA show. And so I'm not rooting for the Heat, but I would like my prediction to be... No, I'm rooting for the Heat.
Yes, you are.
That was a line. You guys are both about to call me on it anyway. So, yes, I want to be right about this prediction because I want to give the theater of being right about this prediction on the podcast. But even with all that, when he put that shoulder... I wouldn't say, like, put his shoulder into Jay Crowder. He just put his shoulder on Jay Crowder, and Jay Crowder went flying off, and he ripped that dunk. I jumped off my sofa. I was like, whoa! Like, I was in on that play. I like that stuff where he just, nope, you're out of here. I'm going to dunk this.
Well, yeah, and you know, it was reminiscent of the dunk that got blocked by Bam Adebayo. Like, almost the exact same angle, same kind of power. And you could see that, like, that was a message that he was trying to send.
It was just after he picked up a technical because he was pissed off because Crowder got away with a foul on him that led to a dunk on the other end for Miami. So a lot of emotions there. I think he was just venting on that dunk and on that situation there.
Yeah.
Bam Adebayo, really kind of big game for him. 27 points, 16 rebounds for the Heat. Tyler Hero, we talked about, got hot in the first half, had 22 points. Jimmy Butler with 17 points, but we're going to have to see what's going on with him in an injury. Folks, this game, their next game is not going to be played until Wednesday. That is going to be quite a while. But before we go, let me ask you guys, since tomorrow is game two of the Denver Nuggets Los Angeles Lakers game. We know, Zach, that Dave already has the Lakers going to the finals.
Relax. Yeah, I think Dave said they're going to sweep or something.
Yeah, like I think he has the brooms out. Yeah. So, Zach, how do you think game two is going to go?
Denver's been resilient all year. Now, here's what I think the Lakers should do. You got to drop the next two games. Yeah. Can't go up 3-1.
Can't go up 3-1.
They should have dropped the first two games. They really screwed up by winning game one in such a convincing fashion. So you drop this game, you drop the next game, then you become the comeback.
Well, I was about to say, think about it, though. From a narrative perspective, you're right. They should have tanked those first two games.
Yeah.
We believe.
Absolutely. I mean, not only are you the underdogs going into the series as the one seed, but then you go down 0-2.
Against the best player in the league.
We'd never believe more, Dave.
Against the best player in the league?
Woo!
Nikola Jokic?
Those plucky Lakers, guys. Those plucky Lakers, man. Don't count them out, you know? LeBron, year 17.
Year 17. It's basically year 18 at this point, to be honest, because of the pandemic. No, I think Denver comes out and probably wins this one, but regardless, I think it'll be close. I think they'll make adjustments. I think they'll figure out ways to attack the size. We may see them run a little bit more just to try to get, you know, JaVale out of there and try to test, you know, Dwight's awareness.
Oh, JaVale's not
Dwight's
playing,
been very good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's not playing another competitive minute. I mean, Dwight was fantastic.
JaVale was, I mean, he was so bad.
He was terrible, but I'm not ready to say he's not going to play another competitive minute just because you're
legally, they're all competitive minutes because it's a conference final.
Fair. Okay. Good point. Touche, salesman. Yeah,
Dave, if it's 0-0, it's a competition.
That's a good point. All right, fair. But I don't think he's going to start. I think they'll start Dwight.
I think they're going to stay with it. I think they're just going to roll with what they got. Because here's the thing. Dwight and him are interchangeable. And you know what? One game JaVale has it. One game Dwight has it.
I promise you, JaVale won't.
JaVale's not going to have it.
I promise that.
Yeah. But I don't think he can be as bad as he was again.
Oh, I think he could be worse.
If JaVale starts, expect a hot start from Jokic.
Okay.
They'll look to exploit it.
Well, my thing for me is I think the Nuggets have to do a better job of getting Jokic the ball in the post when he has a small on him. You know, I don't think they did a great job of that. I think there were moments of it, and when they did, they got good looks out of it. They just didn't make them. But I think overall, they got to attack those switches better. If they're going to switch Caruso onto Jokic, if they're going to switch Danny Green onto him, like, that's a mismatch. Jokic has got to go to work in those situations. Dave, how are your Nuggets going to win it all?
Probably because Jamal Murray averages 45 a game. I mean,
how are Dave's Nuggets going to beat Dave's Lakers?
You got to understand. So there's so much, you know, the small market Lakers. They've just been so plucky.
Look,
all
Dave,
year.
That's a family owned business.
It's family business. They've been so plucky all year. But you know what? The juggernaut Nuggets that we all expected to be here, they're undeniable. Nikola Jokic is just a monster. Jamal Murray might be the best point guard in the league. No, if they're going to win, it's going to be because Murray is able to actually go off. You know, that game one was so weird. The first half, those guys being in foul trouble, the Lakers shooting so many free throws. I'd like to think, just like the first game of the Clippers-Nuggets series, we almost need to throw that out and just start over from scratch. Make game two game one and give the Nuggets a chance to actually know what's going to happen, because they don't have the talent to match up against LeBron and AD. They need time to figure out which adjustments they can make to work. The issue is that the Lakers are so good that they may not get that time.
So by that reasoning, was today's game game one for the Celtics, or?
Yes. Yeah. Miami hasn't won a game all playoffs. I don't even know.
Okay.
I think Mark Stein tweeted that the last, you know, quote unquote home games for the Celtics in their playoff series, the home team is 0-12.
Yes. So home teams are not winning in the Celtics playoff series. So,
so congratulations to the Celtics on evening it up 2-2 on Wednesday.
fellas, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about all the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We still have your favorites. Basketball Buds on Monday. Zach's already teased it. He's already warming up. He's got his running shoes for his victory lap on the Athletic NBA show. We have no dunks. Tampering. Oh, we don't have tampering anymore.
We have no doubt.
Tampering's on the athletic show Tuesday.
It's just messes me up.
Tampering.
Just too much stuff, guys. We got so many things. If you're not listening, I don't know what's wrong with you.
You should be listening to podcasts from The Athletic 24 hours a day.
Plain and simple. And just keep repeating the Brody and the Beard one if you want some Houston Rockets love. Because that's one of our dozen team-specific shows.
I agree. Kelly goes really good on that.
Man, what a great job. I kind of tune out
when he's not talking, Dave, you know? But yeah. I really listen
don't
to
worry, Don't worry. So do the Rockets fans, Zach. Don't forget to follow on the app to get notifications for new episodes and utilize the podcast episode comment sections to tell Kelly how great he is and how bad his podcast co-host is. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, you're in luck. You can get all the podcasts ad-free, plus some fantastic writings across all major sports for a super low price. Telling you guys, theathletic.com/dailyding for $1 a month for an annual subscription. I don't know what you're waiting for.
Mo, that's got to be a type. It has to be $1,000 a month right now.
Wait, I mean, I know you think your your power rankings is
conference finals, NBA finals,
NHL finals.
You know, yeah, NHL finals. No, that's got
to
be
football.
Zach, you got to talk to the founders, man. They're really underselling how important your power rankings are.
$1 a month.
They're giving it away.
Let me tell you this. If you're listening to this, it's a glitch in the system. It's going to go away. You have to take advantage of it now because it's a glitch. It has to be.
This is one of those moments, folks. This is one of those moments. You don't want to be there and realize you could have got The Athletic for $1 a month, but now you got to pay $1,000 a month.
It's like finding a Rolex for $5, only it's a real Rolex.
Exactly. You didn't have to stab somebody for it. What?
Okay, on that note, thank you for waking up with us on this Sunday morning. Fellas, take us home.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Chinese women got cakes on the low. Now, we know what he means when he's talking about cakes.